You're listening to the Saturday Night Cafe on 77 WABC. Now back to Laura.
He's a media consultant and a talk radio guru. His website is called survivalspeech.com, and you will find so much there. Holland Cook, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
I love having you here.
I not only love being with you on WABC, I just love saying WABC.
It's fun, right?
It really is.
We're going to focus today on digital do's and don'ts. This is vast. Our entire lives are digitized now. Everything we do is digital. And we need to know how to navigate this.
Never send an email to somebody that says, "Did you get my email?" Because unless it bounced back, they got it. Never send an email to somebody who says, "I left you a voicemail," or never leave a voicemail for somebody that says, I emailed you, because this transmedia pestering is only making the pile of spam a bigger hassle for the person you're dealing with.
I did that. I said to somebody who wasn't picking up the phone, I said, "I just tried to call," because I wanted to kind of verify that I had tried to get in touch with him.
It's too easy. When you would write a letter, old school, there was built-in deliberation time. You had to write it out. You had to make a purchase decision. I'm going to spend the money on a stamp. And then you walked in the mailbox and you could change your mind at any step of the way. Email, you fall into that stimulus response trap. And that's why it's so snippy and snarky, because you can reply right away. Unless you're emailing AOL to AOL, you can't take it back. There's no unsend. So when in doubt, don't send. Especially with email losing the nuance of conversation in person. When you are with someone making eye contact, you understand each other better than, for instance, if you were just talking on a phone. But talking on the phone at least has the tone of voice and other nuance. With an email, a lot can get lost in translation. And that's when the old, "Oh yeah," kicks in, and you have to be wary of that. So when in doubt, don't send. The common thread running through all of this stuff is the manners that our parents preached.
Okay. Well, good manners never go out of style. My guest is Holland Cook.
Now, back to your host, Laura Smith, and the Saturday Night Cafe on 77 WABC.
Now, with the advent of social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the rest of it, I'm sure, Holland Cook, you have some absolute must-not-dos when it comes to posting in social media, say. What are some of the most common mistakes you see?
Oversharing, what we call TMI. This is the little guy's chance to tell the world something. The problem is little guy is telling us too much. There are privacy concerns, for instance. We're off on vacation, and you come back, and all your furniture is gone.
So you Does that really happen?
Sure. You got to be careful with social media, because we are now living our lives online. The big dog, in terms of sheer population, is still Facebook, but Twitter is on fire. It's just catching up real fast. And it's seductive because it invites other voices into the conversation. Anyone can do, in effect, a little show on social media. You start a conversation, and when somebody puts something on your Facebook wall or replies to one of your tweets, you are effectively the host of that conversation, and they can share it with all of their friends, because everybody who's looking at their stuff suddenly now sees what they're part of. So a conversation can go, as they say, viral. And Twitter takes it to the next level by allowing you to meet friends of friends. So it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. You got to be careful. It never hurts to be polite.
So what are some other common mistakes that you see?
If, for instance, you are a job applicant, assume you will be Googled. And before you send out resumes, before you go in for the big interview, you may want to review what's on your Facebook wall and take those pictures from Jamaica, where you've got the big promotional-sized jug-handle bottle of Popov vodka off the wall before you go meet the HR folks. It's like the tattoo you can have lasered off, because you've already told people more than you know, and more people than you know may be looking in on you. So it's an open book. When they do a sitcom, the writers have a document they call the Bible. And the very first episode of the sitcom is the pilot, and the Bible may only be one page. It's just a thumbnail. Jerry and Elaine used to date. Now they're just friends. She can't dance. She's from Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And as the seasons pass and these characters get fleshed out, the Bible becomes a big, thick, three-ring binder that describes all of these characters so that they don't misspeak and three seasons down the road say that Elaine was from Connecticut because everybody thought she was from Maryland. And this is what you're doing in social media. You are giving away more in the aggregate than you may realize. People come to know you a little better than you intend unless you're careful. In terms of reaching people, it's interesting to watch how many folks follow you and when they unfollow you. It's a real trophy to have a lot of followers on Twitter, for instance. But you never lose followers by not tweeting. I notice that my numbers go up and down. They go up when I put something cool out there that people pass around. And they go down when I put something I thought was cool up there that nobody passed around.
Like what?
And you
what would be the difference?
According to research, third-party stuff that you share tends to get retweeted more than you talking about yourself. The I, me stuff really doesn't take wings. But when you, in effect, say, hey, look at this, pretty cool, huh? That's the stuff that gets passed around.
You're listening to the Saturday Night Cafe on 77 WABC.